Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Referred to as the doctrine of sin in the church, and so we want to pick up on that and just kind of go into that a little bit deeper today. So let's pray, and then we'll do just that. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, because that is the only name that we can approach the throne of grace through. And Lord, you said if we come to you, we can find help in the time of our need. So I come to you because I need you to speak to me so that I can speak to those that are here under the sound of my voice. We pray for those that aren't here, Lord, the ones that weren't able to come for whatever reason. Be with them, Lord, as they're at home or at other churches or wherever they might be. Bless them, keep them, and the body of Christ as a whole, help us to preach the truth today as we celebrate being one in the body, and not to preach against other congregations, but to remember that the body is one and that we need to act like we're in unity and not in opposition towards one another. So Lord, as I open your word, speak to us, teach us your ways. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Now, we touched on just mostly the definitions of sin and how the Bible treats it in all of its different word formats and the different words used for sin, like transgression, unrighteousness, iniquity, trespass. And so we want to go a little bit deeper and find out, how did sin, of course, get into the world? I was listening to a radio program, and somebody was asking this guy, this pastor, actually is an evangelist. He goes around the world, mostly to universities, but all sorts of places, and they ask him these questions. And so they're asking him, why did God create evil? And the answer was, God didn't really create evil. He created choices. Everybody say choices. Say it like you mean it. Say choices. See, it's important to understand evil is a result of a choice. Evil is not just evil. It's disobedience to what God has provided. So once you disobey God, then evil comes in. Are you with me? And so if we go to the book of Romans, of course we can go to Genesis and see where disobedience got into the plan. We've gone over that many, many times. I believe the fall shows you so much about human nature. Just that one passage between Adam and Eve and the serpent. So I'm not going to go back there, but we all know that God told them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when they did do that, they knew that they disobeyed God, and they tried to hide and cover themselves up, but they could not cover themselves up from God. Notice God knew where they were. He recognized they weren't covered in the same clothing. You might say, well, they were naked in the garden, weren't they? Well, they were not. They were not clothed with clothing. If you look at the description of heaven, the Bible says they're clothed in white garments, which is what? Anybody know what the white garments represent? The righteousness of God. So Adam and Eve at that time were clothed with righteousness. They were not clothed with clothing as we have to be clothed now. but they were clothed in the righteousness of God. So when they went and put figs over themselves, fig leaves, God noticed that their clothing had changed. He says, hey, that's a new wardrobe you got on there. I don't remember giving you that. So that's what happens with evil. But let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and then we're going to go a little deeper into Romans chapter 7. But let's go first to Romans 5. We're going to be a lot in Romans today, because the book of Romans opens the some of the secrets that are opened in the book of Genesis, but not fully explained in the book of Genesis. So Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 17. So Romans 5, verse 12 through 17, all right? That's where we're going once this Bible catches up with me. Oh, there we go. All right. So it says this, and this is, listen to this. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. All right? So you see that? So therefore, just as through one man sin entered to the world. Now, somebody might say, well, how come they only dealt with the man part? Didn't Eve actually eat the tree first? Anybody ever ask that question? Why is Adam named and not Eve? Anybody know why? This is a biology lesson. Why the male and not the female? Go ahead, Mr. Kilgore. Which he did do, because she knew she wasn't supposed to eat it. But the male is the carrier of the seed. Yeah. Women, when you again, this is the biology lesson. When a woman is impregnated, she doesn't bear the seed. The seed comes from the male. So every human being was still in the body of Adam, because nobody else had born at that time. So the sin issue, it wasn't just Eve was disobedient. Had Adam not eaten of the fruit, sin would not have come into the world, because the seed was in him. But because Adam loved Eve, he sacrificed righteousness for unrighteousness, and therefore sin entered into the world. And not just sin, but death. Now notice, in the Old Testament, Adam actually lived a long time before he died. I think the Bible says Adam lived 900 and some odd years. I don't remember the exact date. I think it was 930 years. But eventually Adam died. So death, even though it was took a long time to get a hold of him, finally got a hold of him. So we read in verse 13, says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Therefore, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, this is an interesting statement, because what the Bible tells us is that if you don't know wrong, if you don't understand right from wrong, you cannot sin. And I know that's why children are not considered sinners until they understand the difference between right and wrong. A baby may do wrong, and most babies do wrong. They'll tell you to shut up. They can barely talk. You know, 1-year-old, the first words they come out are no. You'd say, go over there, no. You know, and all the things babies do. But they don't understand what they're doing. Now it's your job to teach them. You know, don't tell daddy, don't tell mom no. And they'll say it again, no. And so you have to teach them a little sterner. and be a little more forceful in your teaching. But you have to, once you teach them the difference between right and wrong, then they become accountable to do the right thing. Are you with me here? This is how sin works. So there is, but and you might say, well, then that is how this works with those that don't know God. Now that works for a child, but an adult knows the difference between right and wrong. You may not have known what the Bible says because you haven't read the Bible, but you do know that there's certain things in life you just don't do. All right? So we see that sin comes through the fall or the disobedience of Adam and is imputed to us through Adam. All right? But as the scripture says, it doesn't take hold of or control us until we know what it is. Let me give you, let's read chapter 7. Let's go to chapter 7 verses. We're going to read 7 through 25. And this gives a better picture of what I'm talking about. So it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? So a lot of people, let me say this about the law. When he's talking about the law, he's talking about the law of Moses. Okay? So, and then the Bible talks about how the law didn't give us the ability to overcome sin. But let's read what it did do. It says, is the law sin? And he says, certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. Everybody say, I would not have known sin except through the law. So now, and think about when the Jewish people received the laws and the commandments, and the Bible says that he gave them the land of Israel to go and possess and take from those that lived there. He says, because their sin had risen to the place where it had to be judged. And what were they doing? All the things he told them not to do, they were doing. Homosexuality, bestiality, worship of other gods, adultery, stealing, lying, cheating, everything the Ten Commandments and the 626 laws that were given to the Jewish people commanded them not to do, they were doing. And that's why he says, and that's why they're being expelled, because their sin is vomiting them out of the land. Now that's a pretty bizarre picture, but you get the picture, right? You can't stand it anymore. In other words, so he says, so I would not have known sin had it not been the law. And then he goes on to say, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking the opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desires or covetousness. Remember, desire, covetous, lust, all those are words that are synonyms for each other, okay? For apart from the law, sin was dead. This is what I'm talking about. I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. So what he says here is this. I didn't even understand what evil desires were until the Bible told me not to have them. Okay? But just by telling me not to have them, it didn't stop me from having them. Are you with me here? So in other words, when you know something's wrong, now the fight comes in to stop doing it. But he says, but the law didn't give him the ability to stop doing it. All of a sudden, they just rushed on me, and I was overcome by them. So this is what the law. So the law, remember, the law, and we use this in the natural sense. The speed limit on this street, what's the speed limit on this street coming this way? 25. It's, unless it's posted, the old rule is, unless it's posted otherwise, on a residential street, the speed limit is 25. Now, how many people drive 25 on that street?
Like 30, 40.
Yeah. I mean, they turn off a Rainier and they're hauling down to get to the next corner. I mean, they're driving fast. They got the stop signs on the wrong streets. It should be on this way, going that way. But that's another story. But notice the speed limit is posted, but it doesn't make you do it. So the law is posted. You clearly know what the law says, but it doesn't stop you or make you keep it. It's just a notice that if you break the law, there are consequences. Are you with me here?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And so this is what the law of God does. It showed the Jewish people that if you did these things, you violated God's law. But what he did do, and we'll get into that in a minute. I won't go ahead of myself. But let's go back to 7. It says 13 says, where was I? No, I wasn't on 13. Where was I? 12? No. Read that part. Yeah. So it says, what then? What is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Now that's a whole lot of talk, but it's basically saying that sin is so powerful that it overcomes even the desire to keep from sinning. And how many understand that? We want to do the right thing, but the desire is so strong we can't stop ourselves. We have the can't help it. You know, we want to blame the devil. The devil made me do it. This person made, I couldn't help it. I had to do it. I was compelled to engage in or do the things. So he's saying sin, that's the way sin is. You know you're not supposed to do it, but you can't resist it when you're placed in its presence. Amen. Everybody, I'm talking. So he goes on to say, for what I am doing, I do not understand. Excuse me, going back to 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Well, what does carnal mean? That means you are flesh and blood. Or in real sense, it means you are fallen and therefore don't have the power to overcome sin. All right? It goes on to say in 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. In other words, there's something telling you because you can't stop doing what you're doing and you want to stop it, you're agreeing that God's law is righteous. You might say, how does that work? Well, how many know that when you do something and then you hit yourself and say, man, why did I do that? How can I be so stupid to fall for that again? We've all said that to ourselves, right? So that tells us that we agree that we shouldn't be doing it. But there's something in us that keeps compelling us to do it. All right? So let's go back here. And it says, But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Everybody say sin that dwells in me. So what does dwell mean? Lives. It abides. It is a part of who I am. Sin is a part of who I am. It's not of what I do. It's a part of me. I can't separate myself from it. And so it goes on to say, where was I? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. Will always means that you want to, but you can't stop yourself. That's what habits are. We're stuck with a habit. We want to stop, but we just can't. Right? Everybody say amen, because all of us have had habits. I don't care what the habit is. We've had it. So it's this battle that we fight. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth nothing good. For the will is present, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he goes on and says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So he's delivered us. But in order for us to understand that we need a deliverance, we have to understand that it is such a part of what we are. Let me move to the next point, is sin is never satisfied. It says, with just one thing, I think I have in the notes on there, it is sin is has an insatiable appetite. You guys know what insatiable means? And an appetite never gets enough. Think about it. If you don't believe it, think about Adam and Eve. And we're going to go to Proverbs 27 in a minute. I want to show you something that I saw just this morning that just shocked me almost. Adam and Eve, the devil wasn't just satisfied with Adam and Eve, but he went after Cain and Abel. And then he went after everybody else after that. He didn't stop with just Adam and Eve. He got Cain to kill his brother. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And so let's look at Proverbs 27:20. And it says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Now, my Bible has this reference. It says destruction is called Abaddon. Everybody say Abaddon. So that's the Hebrew word for destruction. All right? Everybody say Abaddon. Now go to Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. And look at this. And they said, and there had, and actually let's start at 10. They said, they had tails like scorpions and there's stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them. Everybody said a king. The angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is what? Everybody say it out loud. Abaddon, which is the same word for destruction. And so who is this Abaddon person? It's the devil. The devil is never satisfied with destruction or with destroying somebody. He can go on and on destroying. And I was shocked to see that this word Abaddon is the same word as it was in Proverbs. Because Abaddon is a person, not just destruction, like a blow up of a bomb and, you know, it's, oh, that's so destruction, or the enemy wants to destroy you. And he is using sin to destroy you. His TNT, if you will, is sin. Because we know that the wages of sin is what? Or destruction, if you want to change those words. So we see that because sin never gets enough, sin never stops. And we can all look at the world and see that sin never stops. Look at what goes on in the world. You know, first it was back in the 60s. It was, free love. Remember that? Those of us that are old enough to go back that far. Free love. Oh, you know, nothing matters. You know, remember one professor, I believe it was a Harvard professor, says, make love, get high. And I can't remember the third. There were three things he said. None of them good. But the society was trying to remove the limits of sexual conduct, which everybody knew that was between a man and a woman. I was watching this old movie. It was a 50s movie. It was actually set in the 1800s. But a girl had a baby out of wedlock. And the father, this whole story is to find out who the father is. And her brothers wanted to find out, and if he didn't marry their sister, they were going to kill him. Because why? They understood that that was a disgrace in their family. Now think about what goes on in families now. Huh? Think about it. But let's not just stay there. Look at abortion. You guys remember abortion? Oh, we want to. Abortion is for the protection of the mother. And, in cases where she can't have the child and all that. You remember that? Although that was what they tried to sell us with abortion, right? In the case of rape and incest. But I just heard that the state of New York passed an abortion law that says not only can you abort the child up until the point of, you can abort the child after it's born. That's not abortion. Because that you just killed a human life. And the guy in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, I don't know if you guys know about the doctor who was doing partial birth abortions, he was convicted of murder for doing just that. Nobody knows about this case. This is a famous abortion doctor. He used to, the babies would be born and he would take them in the back and kill them. So destruction, Abaddon, is never satisfied. Because it's just a doorway. All he needs is get his foot in the door. You guys know what it means to get your foot in the door? You know when somebody tries to lock you out of a doorway? And they try to close the door, but you get your foot. That might hurt your foot. But you got your foot in the door. And now you can use the force to get it open. Kiki thought that was funny. He just needs a door, a foothold, and he's going to kick that door down. Because everything that we said, oh, it won't happen, it's not going to happen, it has happened. Everything. You remember marriage was, it used to be you had to have a reason to divorce. You had to state grounds for divorce. And guess what the grounds were? Most of them were adultery. That was the major ground. But abandonment and physical abuse became one, all of which are biblical grounds for a divorce. But now we have what's called no-fault divorce. All you have to do is say in the pleadings that we have irreconcilable differences, differences that cannot be reconciled. No matter what it is, didn't like the way she cooked, didn't like the way she does her hair, she's too fat, he's too fat, he doesn't work, he's lazy, whatever it is, now you can get a divorce. And so now we demean the importance of marriage, and then the same sex group says, well, y'all ain't doing marriage right, why don't you let us get married? Well, wait a minute, I thought it wasn't important. Remember, it was marriage is nothing more than a contract. You guys remember that, those days? It's just a piece of paper. Remember that? I mean, come on, this stuff is coming full circle. It's just a piece of paper. Well, if it's just a piece of paper, why do you want it? But it's not just a piece of paper. It's what he wants you to think. But he knows that it's a covenant between a man and a woman. And who he says, what is God? God has joined, let not man put asunder. Now, let me stop. I'm not bringing condemnation for those of us that have gone through divorces. My parents divorced. So let me make that clear. Because all I'm trying to do is show you how the enemy has attacked and that he's never satisfied with one victory. He wins a battle and he's surely next going after the next one. And he's trying to undo everything God did so that the world has no laws and therefore we have a world that is lawless. And then he would be the ruler of the lawless world because he is called the lawless one. And that's what the Antichrist is all about. And that's why the Bible says there is a spirit of Antichrist even now, back in that day. There's a spirit of lawlessness that's been loosed in the land. So this is what we need to understand, that he does not just stop at one thing. He wants the whole thing. He doesn't just want a piece of your candy bar. He wants the whole candy bar. You know those folks that you share candy bars with and you don't ever seem to get any of it? It's like, I remember I did this to my wife once. You know, she made us a whole bunch of cookies. And she made me a lot of cookies and I devoured them. I mean, I when she makes chocolate chip, I eat five at a time. My bag was dwindling quickly and her bag hadn't moved. And I said, hey, let's share bags. let's put our bags together. And she knew what I was up to. I wanted to eat hers too. Because she ain't eating one a day, one every other day, one every 2 days, every 3 days. I'm eating five and six at a time. I mean, she made me like two or three dozen. And I'm just eating those bad boys because I love cookies. I had to stop that, but that's what I used to do. But that's the way the enemy wants. He wants to throw it. Let's throw it all in the same bag so we can share, but you'll never get any of it. His appetite is never satisfied. And we see the epidemic of sin throughout the book of Genesis. First we talked about the murder of Abel by Cain. And then the Bible says later on in that same chapter 6 that the thoughts of men were continually evil. Their thoughts are continually evil. And then verse 11 says, therefore there is violence throughout the land. So there you see a murder, in the first generation, you see life continuing and their men's thoughts are just continually evil. What does it mean to be continually evil? It doesn't mean that you're always thinking bad. It's just you're always thinking about you. You're the center of you. Everything is about you. And sin is the ultimate you expression. You kill people because they made you mad. Cain killed Abel. Why? Because his gift was better than his. That's not a reason to kill anybody. Or you have the murders in the streets because he's got a different color on than I do. He's black, I'm blue. He's red, I'm blue. He's purple, I'm... That's not the reason you kill people. But foolishness has reigned. The thoughts of men are continually evil. And there's violence in the land. So we see that sin just continues to spread like a cancer. And it got so bad in the first part of Genesis that God says, enough is enough. I got to stop this. So that's why the flood came. He had to start all over again. And this time he chose a man, Abraham, to bring his life into the earth. He didn't do that with anybody else before Abraham. Notice there was Enoch, right? But the Bible says he took him out. He brought him home with him because he was righteous. And he said his testimony was that he pleased God. But he didn't call Enoch like he called Abraham and say, Abraham, I'm going to give you a nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. All the people that are from you are going to be blessed and so on and so forth. He didn't do that with Enoch. He did it with Abraham because he set a new format once the flood came. And it ended with the giving of the law. And that's when the truth of right and wrong came. That's why the Ten Commandments are important. The Ten Commandments don't save anybody. Never were intended for salvation, but they're intended to govern your behavior. But because now, and I'm going to open up my next part of my message, which we'll probably have to get to next week. But now we don't do it through the law. We do it. The law is written now on our hearts, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to keep the law. That's what was lacking in the Old Testament. The power to do the right thing. Amen? All right, I'm going to unplug it here. It's about a half an hour, so that's about good.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.